And we've got a very special guest right now, and we're going to talk a little bit about, we've been talking about how to save money because of health care and all that. We're going to talk with Bill Ringham. He's Vice President of RBC Wealth Management, and we're going to talk about how ill-prepared people are to actually sort of manage any kind of money that they may either come into or create on their own. Bill, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And what you offer and this difficulty that people have of really knowing what to do and how to create any sort of money, be it big or small.
Well, you know, from a perspective of that, you know, we're looking at a wealth transfer report that RBC actually had prepared talking about the thought leadership behind the individuals that are actually giving and receiving wealth. And so it's really a study conducted of over 3,000 individuals. It deals with individuals in the United States as well as Canada and Great Britain, and whether or not they're actually prepared to inherit that wealth, as well as what those individuals are doing to transfer that wealth. And what the study found is that with $3.2 trillion of wealth transferring, many Americans don't necessarily have a plan and really are actually woefully unprepared for both the transfer and the inheritance of that particular wealth.
So, we're talking, be it a Trump fortune or something significantly less.
Absolutely. You know, it affects anyone that's inheriting wealth, right? So it could be those inheriting a large sum of money, or quite honestly, it could be those that are inheriting, you know, just $50,000 or less even, right? You know, so what it focuses on is what kind of education process those individuals that have inherited that particular wealth are receiving from their parents or professional advisors, such as an advisor at RBC Wealth Management, incorporating with their attorneys and CPAs. But, you know, people are probably not being told about what they're about to inherit, which misses the opportunity that parents have to help educate their children on what that means. So even if it is, say, $50,000 that an individual is inheriting, by not necessarily understanding the inheritance process, so in other words, when that money actually might be received after their parents' passing, or why their parents maybe put it in some kind of vehicle for their benefit, or maybe even gave it outright, what's happening or is being missed here is the opportunity for parents to talk to their kids about, you know, what should be done with that particular money. How should that money be utilized once you inherit it? And the concept, as you said, Bob, about using it and investing it, right? So in other words, if you inherited that, instead of spending it in, you know, just quickly because you don't realize how quickly it goes away, kind of like lottery winners, you know, if you invest it, you know, the aspect of, for instance, compound interest and then growth on that particular, you know, the nest egg that could continue to build and benefit for those individuals during their retirement years would be huge.
Now, when you say that we're really undereducated, so what would you say the two or three key areas of education need to be? And I think maybe you mentioned one of them about investing instead of spending it on a depreciable item like, I'm going to get a new car right off the bat.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Well, just saying a lot of people think, as you mentioned, no, we'll just buy a new Cadillac or something.
Right. You know, I think there's a few things in their education process and the literacy process. You know, first of all, it's, you know, to the extent that you can help understand what the process of wealth transfer really means. But more important than that are the missteps to what can happen with that particular money. As you said, you know, as you receive that asset, you run out and go buy that new shiny object, whether it's a car or a boat or, you know, something like that, versus understanding what that could ultimately do for your retirement years and how that could really benefit you during your retirement years. And so in many respects, financial literacy should be incorporated with a professional advisor, somebody that can continue to work not only with the parents but the children, who are inheriting that to understand the value of investing, the value of that legacy that mom and dad are actually leaving to them, and work with that comprehensive planner that is really focusing on those goals-based type of planning scenarios. Better yet, hopefully they work with the advisors of a client and their family, such as the attorney and CPA, to really help the kids understand a bit about that value of investing. You know, obviously, RBC has professional financial advisors that your listeners can locate on rbcwealthmanagement.com if they don't have one. But it's really making sure that understanding that wealth and what that wealth can do and continue that legacy of mom and dad is key.
Now, you mentioned attorneys and CPAs. I think there are a lot of times the only time people see is attorneys if they get into trouble, and the only time they see a CPA is around tax time.
CPA. Yep, exactly. It's one of those things where everyone likes their own attorney, but no one else is maybe that common theme there. But, you know, really, from an estate perspective, incorporating, you know, an attorney and oftentimes, as you said, the CPA during tax time outside of that period to really make sure that, you know, the estate plan is in place, everyone understands what the goals and objectives of mom and dad are as they're actually transferring those assets down, and have really a team approach, you know, to the actual wealth transfer and the inheritance of that is obviously beneficial, so that everyone's on the same page and no missteps are made. So in other words, if you incorporate your estate attorney and your CPA in this whole part of the process, we find that it is a much smoother process and a much more streamlined process, and therefore that legacy is probably going to last more than that one generation that it might be ultimately not lasting for otherwise.
Now, does RBC have a place where people can go to find out what questions they ought to be asking? Because I can imagine some of our audience is sitting there thinking, I don't even know the questions to ask, and if I were in front of a CPA or an attorney, my eyes are going to glaze over, and I'm going to go, okay.
Yeah. No, we do. We have a lot of great information on rbcwealthmanagement.com, and then talking to a financial advisor. There's a lot of educational material that financial advisors can actually give to clients to talk about educating for financial situations like this. So, for instance, we have educational material that we provide to our clients that they can work with their children based upon age category. It may range from age 6 to 13, 14 to 18, 18 to 24, and 24 on, where it's just great information that parents can then start to talk about financial things with their children, and understand, you know, budgeting, investing for college, things of that nature. Quite honestly, things that the school systems really probably aren't doing as good of a job talking about from an overall financial perspective, that the parents could really, you know, help out with as well as their professional advisor.
Sounds great. Bill Ringham, thank you so much for joining us. What website did they go to?
rbcwealthmanagement.com.
Great. Sounds wonderful. Hey, thanks. It sounds like something we all ought to do. All right. Appreciate
it
very much.
You know, Bob, thank you so much for your time. I've really appreciated it. And, yeah, good. Appreciate talking to you.
Have a great day. Stay warm.
Thank you. You too.